Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we'd like to invite you, if you have not been, that might be your first time, you know, on this channel, that we actually have a 10:30 Zoom fellowship worship service that, you know, we'd love for you to join if you have not been with us on that. You get to hear great music, you know, interact with other Unity folks, and actually get to ask some questions about, or be involved in discussion about the lesson, if there are some things about it you want to know more about. So we invite you to be part of that Zoom service, and if you're interested, you can find the link in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. And again, if you're new to this and you do not know how to get a weekly update or e-newsletter, you can go to unitycenteroflight.org and sign up or see with the, you know, see the link. And also, we'd like to thank you for all the wonderful donations you sitting here to support us here in Bowie, Maryland. And if you're new and you're, again, you would like to know how you can support because you feel fed by this message, you can just click on the Show More button below, and it'll show you all the ways that you can support Unity Center of Light. And we appreciate all of your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. So good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential, divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, June 11th. The key word is grace, and the affirmation is, with joy and gratitude, I welcome grace. The guiding, healing, harmonizing presence and power of God is everywhere present. Divine grace is mine whenever I say yes to this presence within me. I release any thought that I am unworthy of grace. Nothing I could do or fail to do would ever disturb my divine identity. Grace need not be earned, nor can it be bought. It is inexhaustible. No matter how much comes my way, I can relax in complete trust that even more will be available as I need it. Grace doesn't happen to me. It expresses through me. Just as I have been blessed to receive grace when I have needed it, I am honored to be the conduit through which it flows to someone else, blessing them in a time of need. The scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 4:15, and it reads, "Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, we're on another journey here, spiritual journey, trying to understand more about the, you know, spiritual process that we're going through. And as we can see, you know, what the name of the lesson is for today, actually, love's got everything to do with it. And when I was, you know, trying to figure out this week, what am I going to talk about in this Sunday? And I kept hearing this message from within myself about love. You need to talk about love. And then I remembered a cartoon Pamela sent out that showed Tina Turner arriving at the pearly gates of heaven, where St. Peter says to her, "Welcome, Miss Turner. Up here you will find that love has everything to do with it." And I believe that's a true statement. And it was like for me, okay, that's what I need to figure out how to talk about. You know, and again, that is a true statement. And it's a true statement for every one of us. You know, actually, love has everything to do, you know, to do with it. Because in our everyday lives, love does have everything to do with what everything that we're doing. And it's probably the most wonderful, joyous, engaging emotion we can experience, while at the same time, it can be the most challenging, frustrating, disengaging emotion we can experience. And, you know, typically when we're thinking about love, we're not thinking about love metaphysically. You know, a lot of times my talks are about the metaphysics of life. And when we think about love, we're not thinking about it metaphysically. Rather, we're usually thinking about the love in our life from a deep personal perspective. You know, for example, if you want to look at the metaphysics of the word love, we can go to the revealing word. And it says, love is the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly the most beautiful. In divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. And it's a great harmonizing principle within each of us. Okay? And as wonderful as that may sound, I don't think that's what we're primarily thinking about when we think about love, right? Rather, we're most likely thinking about the people in our lives and the impact that love has on our relationships. And it may very well be true that the greatest impact on the way we visualize love-centered encounters may have come from or at least been inspired by our favorite, you know, love songs. You know, for example, but not limited to, you know, think about Etta James singing At Last, you know, My Love Has Come Along, My Lonely Days Are Over and Life Is Like a Song, right? Or Roberta Flack singing The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, right? I thought the sun rose in your eyes and the moon and the stars were the gifts you gave to the dark and the endless skies. And we can't forget Luther Vandross singing Endless Love. You know, my love, there's only you in my life. The only thing that's right, you know, my first love, your every breath that I take, your every step that I make. And then Minnie Riperton saying, loving you is easy because you're beautiful. You know, no one else can make me feel the colors that you bring. Stay with me while we grow old and we will live each day in springtime because loving you has made my life so beautiful. And then Stevie Wonder singing, I just called to say I love you. You know, I just call to say how much I care, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. So, you know, those are just a few. I know everybody's got their favorite love songs that you think about. And, you know, if you've ever, you know, like been driving in a car for a long time with your favorite person or, you know, like sometimes I'm listening to music on the computer, you know, I'm playing these love songs. And, of course, you know, it just puts you in a very loving mood, right? So it may be true that love songs and romantic movies and those who love to read, you know, romantic books and all those kind of things do more to stimulate and perpetuate the emotion of love within us than, you know, any other outside venue, okay? And yes, in addition to romantic love, there's the love we have for our children and family members and our pets, our work, our house, and, you know, many other things in our lives. Love is something that we're dealing with all the time. It is a real, enduring part of the human experience, right from the time that we are born to the time that we lay down our heads for the last time. And in a podcast that comes out of the University of Utah titled Seven Domains of Women's Health, the third episode, which aired on November 16, 2020, spoke about the domains of love. And it starts out with a quote that seems to come from Tina Turner's song, What's Love Got to Do with It? That's the title. And the podcast shared that love is a secondary emotion. And that's what's in the words of Tina Turner's song, okay? Meaning it is attached to something else. Actually, many other things in our lives we attach the word to. So she says the narrator says, it's awful that in the English language, we don't have enough words that specifically guide us through the many different kinds of love that we experience. And what happens, it seems we use the same word, love, to express our feelings about many things that bring us great joy. So when we use the word love, are we talking about erotic love? Are we talking about maternal love? Are we talking about love for a sibling or a very good friend? Are we talking about the love of mankind? What are we talking about, you know, when we use that word? So love is an emotion, But we often have to figure out how it is manifesting in our lives, okay? Because we use the word in a thousand different ways. Gary Chapman, and I know many of you probably read this book, his book, The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts, explains that we will say, I love a good burger. In the next breath, we'll say, I love my mother, father, wife, husband, child. You know, we speak of loving activities such as I love to play golf, I love tennis, I love jogging, reading, sitting by the beach. You know, we express how we love objects, like we love our car, we love food, we love our houses, we love our pets, we love nature, trees, grass, flowers, weather. So what is the true nature of this word love that we apply to so, you know, many different things? I know in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we find that Thomas Aquinas explained that love is not merely an emotion or a passion, but a decision we make to create goodwill in another, which he believes makes love good, beautiful, and true. So think about that definition. To create goodwill in another. Love is to create goodwill in another. Now, this definition can very well be applied to all of our relationships with others, no matter what the nature of that relationship. We want to create goodwill in another. So, referring back to the metaphysical definition in the Revealing Word, it expresses, in divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it, okay? So love is a great harmonizing principle within each of us. So when we hear Etta James sing, "At last, my love has come along." Now listen, sort of listen metaphysically. "At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over, and my life is like a song." Could we, from a metaphysical perspective, perceive that the love has come into our lives? Our love has come along. It's come into our lives, just as the song expresses. But it's actually our realization that it is our own innate divine nature that has come into our awareness. My love has come along. Our own divine love nature has come into our awareness. And is now we know it is the primary source of love in our lives. And once we realize this, could our lonely days be over and our life be like a song? Okay, so that's applying sort of the metaphysics to a practical everyday idea that we think about. And if we perceive that we have this innate divine love nature as being the primary source of the love in our lives, and the people in our lives as being the receivers of that love emanating from within us, what impact on our overall joy and love of life could this realization have on us? Okay. And using the definition of co-inherence from last week's lesson, changing the word God to love could give us a mental picture that may be helpful in understanding our own innate divine nature. All right, so it says, and again, remember, changing the words. Last week we said God is within each one of us as us. Well, we're looking at this as love is within each one of us as us. Co-inherence refers to God, to love as a relational essence of our being. Refers to love as the relational essence of our being. Relational referring to how we are divinely connected with love. And essence in this context is referring to the connection of two things where one could not exist without the other. Okay? So simply, we could not exist without our divine love nature. We could not exist without our divine love nature. Think about that. Because we use that so often in so many things, is that we could not exist without our divine love nature. But our divine love nature could not exist without us. because coherence is talking about the fact that these two things are connected, okay? So repeating the revealing word metaphysical explanation, in divine mind, love is the great harmonizing principle within each one of us, bringing us into harmony not only with each other, but with everything, okay? But the decision to live our life from this harmonizing principle is up to each one of us, okay? If you think of divine harmony as a energy-based proposition, let me say that again. Think of divine harmony as an energy-based proposition that we have to consciously say yes to, okay? And as Thomas Aquinas explained, to love is to create goodwill in another, which he believes makes love good, beautiful, and true. So again, in this, it is a decision we have to make. You know, we have to make this decision to work from this divine love nature within us, because it is connected with us and we are connected with it. And if we do not consciously choose to make the decision to come from the primary source of love within us, if we do not consciously choose to make the decision to come from the primary source of love within us, we will, by default, express love as a secondary emotion, which, by the way, has worked out for us, but it has worked out, in other words, we're not coming from a primary source of love, we're coming from a secondary source of love, and I'll explain that further. And I'm saying that, you know, yes, that's worked out for us, but it's worked out for us in sort of an on-again, off-again sort of way. And if we think about our lives, we can remember loving relationships that have come and gone, or that were on again and off again. Okay. Now, as we heard Reverend Kathleen Beasley express in her Everyday Wisdom series that we're watching and discussing on Wednesday night, finding lasting love or joy can be challenging, especially after living a life where so much stuff has happened. Okay, you get what I'm saying? All right. Finding lasting love or joy or love can be challenging, especially after a life where a lot of stuff has happened. And I think many of us listening have had a lot of stuff happen that might have impacted our ability to come from our primary source of love. Okay, so if you're not, we're not coming from our primary source of love, we're looking for secondary measures of love in order to try to find some joy. But she says, love is the cable that keeps us connected to the source of all that is. And I think we're all at least in the head-heart space of knowing that God is all that is, okay? So when we say that this, you know, that the source of love is the cable that keeps us connected, this inner dynamic that keeps us connected, it keeps us connected, but we have to be in the right head and heart space of knowing that God is all that is. But in 1 John 4:8 talks it. It says the apostle expressed it, all that is love. Okay? All that is God, but also all that is love. And he says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And I know if I was doing this in person, a lot of you would have just mimicked that, knowing that I was going to say that. So being in a loving head and heart space, listen to how I'm saying it, being in a loving head and heart space keeps us connected to the God of our being. When we are in a loving head and heart space, that keeps us connected to the God of our being, which is our primary source of love. See, it's not a secondary source. It's not based on something out here that we're applying that love to. We're connected to the source. It is the head and heart space to be in when we're interacting with the relationships in our lives. Okay, so you get what I'm saying? That is, when this head and heart space is keeping us connected to the source of love from within us. Okay, and that's the space we need to be in when we're interacting with the relationships in our lives. Otherwise, if we are not, we become victims of our own perceptions and emotions about what we think is going on, which could lead to disharmony in our relationships. Okay, so by keeping that connection to the source, and again, Reverend Kathy Beasley expresses that love is a tool of resistance. We had a lot of discussion about this. She said, love is a tool of resistance, meaning when you are steadfast in your heart energy, when you are steadfast in your heart energy, you are resistant to the potential negative energy that can be created from within you, you know, when you're having interactions with others. You know what I'm saying? Right? So if we're not connected to our heart energy, then we can, you know, we're interacting with other people and they can say things, do things, whatever, that can cause us to, wow, you know what I'm talking about, not be very loving. Right? So love is the tool we can use to meet ourselves at the door of our temperamental ego and say, stop, only love is allowed to pass through here. Does that make practical sense? Okay. And which makes love an inside job, meaning how I respond to the relationships in my life has nothing to do with what they say or do. Remember what Thomas Aquinas said, to love is to create goodwill in another, which makes love good, beautiful, and true. And in an article titled, Love is Just a Secondhand Emotion, right, written by Eileen Gorman, she explains, being in relationship with another human being is always going to expose what is really going on inside of us. Being in relationship with another human being is always going to expose what is really going on inside of us. But the complications of our own hearts are just one factor in our quest to love. The other factor is the complication in the hearts of others. You see, so we're coming into relationships. We got our own stuff. But now, and we're interacting with folks who got their own stuff, okay? That is why the spiritual journey is always about getting your own house in order, which can be the hardest job that we take on in our lifetime. And even Tina Turner in her song, What's Love Got to Do With It, she sings in her song, What's Love Got to Do With It, I've been taking on a new direction, but I have to say, I've been thinking about my own protection. It scares me to feel this way. You see what she's saying? She says, I'm trying to move the spiritual path. You know, she was a devout Buddhist. She said, I'm trying to move on this spiritual path. Okay, I've been thinking about my own, but you know, in the process, I'm thinking about my own protection. That's what the ego says. Well, if you go that way, you know, how are you going to protect yourself? And she said, it scares me to feel this way. And that is a very real expression of the journey that we're on, especially this spiritual journey, because our old way of thinking typically does not include the infinite number of divine possibilities that are available when we're willing to follow the loving guidance of our heart. We are all too familiar with the verse, you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. But as Tina sang, we try to protect ourselves by sticking to our old fearful way of thinking and being. Okay? But it's written in Matthew 16, 24, 26. For anyone who keeps his life for himself shall lose it. You know, when you're hanging on to that old stuff, and anyone who loses his life for Christ's sake shall find it. What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? What can be compared with the value of eternal life? Okay. And the understanding of this idea of eternal life may still be confusing to us, you know, mostly because probably of our previous Christian indoctrination about what eternal life is. But if we break it down, we can get a clearer understanding of what eternal life means to our life right now. Okay. So this is what the revealing word says. It says, life is divine, spiritual, and its source is God. The river of life is within our spiritual consciousness. Now, let me say that again, because that's important. The river of life is within our spiritual consciousness. We come into the conscious awareness of the river of life through the quickening of our inner spirit. We can only be quickened with new life and vitalized in mind and body by consciously contacting spirit. And he's telling you how to do it. This contact is made through prayer, meditation, and good works. Okay? And the key here is that when we truly make that contact with the river of life within our consciousness, the duration is eternal. Let me say it again. When we truly make that contact with the river of life within our consciousness, the duration of that contact is eternal. Okay? Typically, our normal fixation on what can be experienced in our material life is through our senses. But as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Okay? Since what is seen is temporary. So he said, this is what we want to do. This is what we're striving to do. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, which is the material world, okay? But we want to fix our eyes on what is unseen, on the spirit within. It says, since what is seen is temporary. We know it keeps changing on us. Really, lately, it's been changing on us. But what is unseen is eternal. Once you make that connection with the river of life in your consciousness, that is eternal, all right? And we can see what is loving and unloving in our material world. But true love comes from the unseen core of our being and is unchanged by what is unloving in the world. Okay. So to summarize this exploration into love, listen to this compilation of famous quotes read as one long statement. Okay. And when I come across these, when I'm doing research, a lot of times I see them, I say, where's the source of that? But I decided to look at each sentence, and this is what I found. Okay. It says, life is a flower for which love is the honey. Being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. We are most alive when we are in love. And the only thing we never get enough of is love. And the only thing we never give enough of is love. So I'm going to end this lesson with an affirmation from Andy Anderson. And this is what he wrote. He says, when I love myself just the way I am, I reveal my power wherever I am. And anytime I can redefine myself through love, I create a new paradigm and I let myself grow. And so it is. Amen. Now we're going to have a meditation with Pamela.
So, church family, gently close your eyes and place your feet flat on the floor and take in a couple of deep breaths, fully exhaling, and then continue with your own rhythmic breathing. As we enter into meditation, we are grateful for the gifts of stillness and peace. We release the demands of the moment, pressing thoughts and worries drift away. Breathing slowly and gently, our mind eases into calm and tranquility. Turning away from the world, focusing inward, hold these thoughts in your mind. Grace and gratitude lead me to a greater awareness of God. I open to the activity of grace and unconditional love that moves in and through my life and circumstances, drawing me deeper and lifting me higher. I surrender to its power and awareness of the divine flow. I release my need to know and simply trust the path before me. Grace guides me toward the highest good. Gratitude unlocks my spiritual vision, and I recognize the divine in all things. Even the most ordinary mundane things bears the imprint of God. My consciousness expands, and I move with the divine flow. God and good are everywhere present. Grace surrounds me with infinite love and acceptance, gently drawing me into the fullness of my divine nature. I shed thoughts of lack and limitation, embracing spiritual power. One with God, I recognize unlimited possibilities. Vision and intuition lay the path before me, and deep inner knowing yields calm and confidence within. Grace lights the way, and gratitude keeps my steps sure. I ask that you join me now in the silence of the secret place of the highest for a few moments, where you may pray and receive answers to your prayers. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and answered them. We say Amen in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. Slowly come back to your surroundings and your day, and know that you are always in God's grace.
So this is a time when we, you know, give God the glory, so to speak. We open ourselves up to, you know, being truly thankful for all the blessings that come into our lives. And just thinking about, you know, the different ways you're being blessed and have been blessed, let's do our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And then the next affirmation we do is offering blessing. This is when we feel, you know, been touched by what we receive from our spiritual home, Unity Center of Light. And we, you know, openly want to support all that our spiritual community does. So we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right, and you have light notes?
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, June 11th. Our next speaker series is this Wednesday on June 14th from 7 to 8 p.m. with the Reverend Kathy Beasley. The series is called Everyday Wisdom. Discussions will be led by Reverend Butch and licensed Unity teacher April May. We've been really enjoying the last two, and so we know that all of them in the series, I think there's four, right? Mm-hmm. Four of them are going to be very, very good. The Book Light Book Club will meet today from 1 to 3 to discuss the book What If This Is Heaven by Anita Morjani. We invite you to join us for discussion. On Sunday, June 18th, Father's Day, we will have our friend Reverend B. Amon James speak for us. His talk title is Nothing to Prove. Amon is a founding member of the Unity Center of Light, and he was our first choir director. He will share special music with us on Father's Day. The Women of Unity will be getting together for a potluck brunch at the home of Brenna McDonough Wolf in Bowie on Saturday, June 24th. This is an open group, so any woman can come and share in the joy with us. If you are not receiving notices about Women of Unity, please let me know by calling me at 301-385-2254 or email me at pamosby@msn.com, and we'll add your name and your email to our database. Please remember that the last day to let me know if you're going to be attending is Sunday, July the 18th. July 9th will be our next in-person service. Last week we had a wonderful Summer Music Sunday. It was awesome. And the music and vocals were electrifying and the room was totally lit up. So please read your updates and your e-newsletter to find links to our activities. And I am complete.
Okay. So it is time
to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
Let's go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Hey. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that you enjoyed it, and you know, look forward to seeing you next week to hear Reverend
Eamon James.
Like I said, Eamon was our, when we first started back in 1991, I think, he was our first choir director. So we look forward to hearing him speak and share his music. Other than that, have a wonderful and safe week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.